All right, so I was just waiting to pick up a listener before I started. I am going to do some music, but I also and I want to talk about the misadventures of me and my sister, partially because then I can talk about how I talk about them on my blog, and it'd be interesting to see if she starts listening to the radio show. I doubt that a lot, although it could get funnier than that, because I am pondering writing about some of this in the next album. Anyway, so today started out with a email from my mother that I think basically said almost exactly changed dates of visit, had planned to go to Bluebeam with Jennifer on Mark's birthday. Love you lots. Now, found this a little upsetting, and as you're wondering why, it's because this all started out with me asking her repeatedly over a three-week period for dates for the visit and not getting any numbers. Finally, while I was there, I looked on the paper calendar for days with nothing written on them and picked a range and asked her if they were okay, and she said they were, and then we wrote them on the calendar and we put them in her iPhone, and then I went home the next day. My sister presumably arrived the next day. No message from my mom, so I figured they were fine and booked the plane tickets and sent a message to my mom with the plane itinerary. She responded with, "Is this a bill?" I'm like, "No. It's it's the list of the flights that happens to include the price tag, but you know, you don't need to pay anything." Anyway, so a couple days go by. Now Thursday, and I wake up to that message. Okay, now, my list of complaints here is, first of all, I really made it clear what dates we were talking about here. So if there was some previous plan, it would have been nice if someone had told me. Also, if I had not gotten refundable tickets, which I did because I know my sister, and I knew this was coming in one form or another, I would have been out the money, because after 24 hours, your tickets are your tickets. So if she was going to tell me this is a no-go, she should have done it in the first 24 hours, but no. Anyway, I tried calling my mom twice. Both times she sent me text message. Can't talk right now because, of course, my sister's in the room, and we can't talk to her when Jennifer's in the room because she's so fragile. She'll break, which I go back and forth. Like, I cannot decide for the life of me whether she is, in fact, like, so seriously screwed up PTSD-wise, and even if she was, I still think the person strangling her until she had bruises probably had more to do with it than my list of crimes, but we can go over the list if anyone wants. I think it's in my blog, although there are a couple new ones that I only remembered because my sister was talking about all the horrible things I'd done over the many years to Aunt Sharon. And as spoiler, aside from once trying to cuddle up to her in a hotel room because I was freezing, no ulterior motives, I've never touched her. And when she asked me to go away in the hotel room, I did, and you know, that was it. But to hear her tell it, she's like, from the way my Aunt Sharon talked to my sister's like, "Well, you know how Heinlein was in favor of incest, and Sharon, Mark were fans of Heinlein. Okay, that Heinlein was also in favor of consensual activity." So unless you were going to say yes, nothing was going to happen. This isn't that complicated an idea, and I wasn't coming, that wasn't what I was thinking about, and nor was it, I think, something I would have started thinking about. I was kind of not in that part of my life just yet. Anyway, yeah, losing my virginity to my sister, no. And not West Virginia. Anyway, I really don't think she thought about a lot of this stuff. But, and maybe I've got the timing wrong, maybe that was later. But I don't know. It's very difficult for me to know because my memory is a hash soup. But there's kind of things I know I wouldn't do because I know me. one of the things is I finally got communication back from her, by the way, because today I posted some more stuff about her because I was displeased to have had my trip preempted and then have my mother basically blow me off repeatedly. Like, I get it. Jennifer always wins. She's more important than me. And also, the things I did were horrible, even though they're just, aside from the stuff when I was like 11 or whatever, they're all just words. Like, it's me saying things I shouldn't have. And I grant you that I may have said some things I shouldn't have that I don't remember, because she was around me at least once when I was crazy, but I know I didn't do anything because I don't. Anyway, what can I say? I had some point here, and it has long since escaped me, but it has to do with the fact, oh yes, she finally posted, I got the first direct communication I've had with her in 17 years. She posted on my blog that, nice try, I remember exactly what happened, you compulsive liar. Okay, when I was like 15, I was a compulsive liar, I believe that. It's not really an accurate description of me at this point. At this point, like, I actively try to avoid lying. If I catch myself lying, I try to confess my lies. I am interested in being 100% honest and transparent, because I believe doing anything else causes brain damage. And I actually will hold up my sister as an example, as well as Donald Trump, of what happens when you don't pursue that policy. She honestly, I think, at this point, believes that her delusions are the truth. And, so she's running around deeply terrified of herself. She's afraid of her shadow. And she hates me, and she's always hated me. Since I was 10 and she was 13, and she's talked about killing me in my sleep. She's used me as a punching bag. She's like, she loathes me. I don't know why, although apparently, from something that one of my uncles said, she's very jealous of me because I got more of my parents' attention because I was, dyslexic and learning disabled and all that, and she was normal. I can buy that, and I'm sorry, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish my parents had been better parents in a bunch of ways. I'm sure they do too. But my God, do we still have to be talking about it 30 years later? Is there not at some point just a point where you let it go? For her, I don't think there is. I think she's going to live the rest of her life loathing me and wanting to find ways to hurt me. And I'm going to live the rest of my life trying to live with this and, whatever things that she does, and trying to treat her fairly and reasonably no matter what. And she doesn't, she's still convinced that I'm the liar. There's all sorts of interesting lies she's told in the last few months. And I'm not the one who's been spotting them. It's part of what's interesting. Like, I could convince myself that I was severely mentally ill and I was, in fact, badly torturing my sister. Except then we started to add up the number of other people, and believe me, it's gotten to be a pretty large number at this point, who at this point do think that she is being awful. If she really thinks that I'm going to come attack her, she should really, really, really seek therapy. But I think she knows I'm not. I really do. I think that she's clear on the fact that I'm not going to come forth after 17 years. Like, why would I bother? Like, I have better things to do with my time. I don't have a lot of time as it is. Also, there's nothing that I could do with her involving attacking her that I would in any way enjoy. I don't like hurting people. So it's not like I would draw any pleasure from the memory of attacking her. That goes double for any sort of sexual situation. Like, that sounds to me like a form of torture for me. Sex with someone who doesn't want to. No, thank you. Like, how can you, like, how dumb do you have to be to think that would be fun? And I guess the other thing is, she doesn't think I think it would be fun. She thinks that I hate her so much that I would be willing to suffer in order to hurt her. No, okay? I think you're a sick, sick puppy, but no, I don't hate you. I wish you could find your way home. That's it. I mean, it's really... I have better things to do with my life than hate people. And we're gonna segue into a piece of music here, and on the odd chance, and maybe I should post a journal entry, the off chance that my twisted sister is listening, would you think about how long it takes to learn to do what I'm about to do? And I'm not done, and this is a lot more important to me than anything involving you. Okay, so if you are listening, if you don't understand, you notice how so far there's three parts, right? There's a thing I'm doing with my left paw. There's a thing I'm doing with my hind paw. There's a thing I'm doing with my right paw. Okay, now let's take that a little further. I could almost see it. Dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaking, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. Always gonna be another mountain, always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there, ain't about what's waiting on the other side. Oh no, it's the climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes it might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most. Just gotta keep going, and I gotta be strong. Just keep pushing on. Oh, it's gonna be another mountain. Oh, it's gonna wanna make it move. Oh, it's gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there, ain't about what's waiting on the other side. Oh no, it's a climb. Oh, it's gonna be another mountain. Always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there, ain't about what's waiting on the other side. Oh no, it's the climb. Keep climbing, keep moving. Keep the faith, keep the faith. All about the climb. So one thing I pondered, and I ran it past a few people, and they pondered with me, and they agreed that I was pondering right. I guess Sharon talked about my mom having to walk on eggshells around my sister, and of course that phrase immediately triggers one thought in my mind, which is borderline personality disorder, because what is associated with that particular phrase more than anything else? And I mean, I don't know that it's true, but kind of the extreme self-centeredness, the inability to contemplate there might be anything wrong with me. You know, I'm perfect. The rest of the world is deeply flawed. Well, maybe. But anyway, my point is, and again, Jennifer, if you're listening, go get some help. You don't have to live like this, I promise. I've been where you are, not exactly, but I've been broken in a lot of ways. And I'm a lot happier since I got fixed, mostly. And it took years, okay? It took, I think, 7 or 8, including several years in a recovery group and years of talk therapy and years of trying different medications before I figured out what had to happen there. It's not a fast process. And in the first few months, it looks like it's not worth it. Like, it looks like it's not doing anything except stirring up bad emotions. I promise you the juice is worth the squeeze. It just takes a while. And there's a book I like to recommend, A General Theory of Love, which goes over why it works and sort of how your mind works, which you of all people should know, because as a biologist, you've presumably studied natural neural networks more than I have. And I remember also that one of your science projects involved artificial neural networks, so I assume that you have studied them at least an appropriate amount. There's stuff here that can be bent. You don't have to live like you currently are. Let's do another song. I remember when the days were long, rode beneath the deep blue sky, didn't have a care in the world, with mommy and daddy standing by. And happily ever after fails, and we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. Lawyers dwell on small details, that he had to fly. Oh, but I know a place where we can go, still untouched by men. Sit and watch the clouds roll by and the tall grass wave in the wind. You can lay your head back on the ground, let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense. This is the end. This is the end of the innocence. Spacious skies, right now these skies are threatening. Beating plowshares into swords for this titled man to be elected king. Armchair warriors often fail, and we've been poisoned by these fairy tales. Lawyers clean up all details, his daddy had to lie. Oh, but I know a place where we can go, still untouched by men. Sit and watch the clouds roll by and the tall grass wave in the wind. You could lay your head back on the ground, let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense. This is the end. This is the end of the innocence. So fast, somewhere back there in the dust, the same small town in each of us. I need to remember this, so baby, give me just one kiss. Let me take a long last look before we say goodbye. Just lay your head back on the ground, let your hair fall all around me. Offer up your best defense. Of the innocence. Also, by the way, Jennifer, if you were listening, that was not directed at you in the sense of me wanting to be, I don't remember, Ronald Reagan's daughter to your Don Henley, or vice versa, I guess. It just happened to be the song that was next in the songbook, although it's got certain appropriatenesses. In case you are listening, I'll play one that you once expressed admiration of.
other fancy stuff. Together they would travel in a boat with billowed sails. Jackie kept a lookout perch on Boff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Boff roared out his name. Oh, Boff, the magic dragon, live by the sea. Frolic in the autumn mist in the land called Harmonie. Boff, the magic dragon, live by the sea. Dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and childish things give way to other joys. One gray night it happened, lucky paper came no more. Above that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bound in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Buff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Buff could not be brave. So Buff, that mighty dragon, he slipped into his cave. Oh, Buff, the magic dragon, live by the sea. And frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Harmonie. Dragon, live by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Harmonie. Oh, time does many things. Time heals what it does not destroy. And sometimes time can bring out the boy inside, the man inside, the boy. One great night it happened, Jackie Paper came again. Puff, that mighty dragon, smiled gladly at his friend. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, live by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in the land called Harmonie. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, live by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in the land called Harmonie.
Well, I'm going to avoid some of the darker ones in my songbook today, I think. Not that I don't love Leonard Cohen, because I do, but it's already been a difficult day, as I said. And it definitely, like, the thing with my mom just so dismissively writing me, like, you know, it's just assumed that even though I've tried to do everything right, that I will just casually change my plans. There's memorial services that I haven't gone to because my mom has asked me not to, like Aunt Louise's, for example. And I still don't know, you know, I have this vision of my sister convincing my entire extended family that her version is the whole and unwashed truth, unvarnished truth, with no mitigating factors. But, of course, as it turns out, that's not quite the case. I kind of regret not having talked to a few of my extended family earlier to figure out exactly where everybody's heads were at on this. Although it's possible that the long silence and, you know, me just staying over here in my corner also helped. You don't know. Anyway.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. darkness. She's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree,
this one's appropriate to just about any situation. Can tell by the number of mistakes I'm making that mentally I'm still not in exactly a good place. A cleaner from the town in the Midwest. With all the cleaning shops around, he made his the best. He also was a baritone who sang clanging clothes. He practiced scales while pressing tails, and he sang at local shows. His friends and neighbors praised the voice poured out from his throat. They said that he should use his gift instead of cleaning coats. Music was his life, it was not his livelihood. They made him feel so happy, they made him feel so good. And he sang from his heart, and he sang from his soul. He did not know how well he sang, it just made him old. His friends kept working on him, trying music out full time. A big debut and rave reviews, a great career to climb. Finally they got to him, he would take the fling. Concert agent in New York agreed to have him sing. There were plane tickets, phone calls, money spent to rent the hall. Took most of his savings, but he gladly used them all. And music was his life, not his livelihood. They made him feel so happy, they made him feel so good. And he sang from his heart, and he sang from
his face and in his smile. And I felt all the critics sat watching on the aisle. The concert was a blur to him, spatters of applause. Did not know how well he sang, he only heard the flaws. The critics were concise, it only took four lines. No one could accuse them of being overkind.
Martin Tanner, baritone of Dayton, Ohio, made his Tall and Tall debut last night. He came well prepared, but unfortunately his presentation was not up to contemporary professional standards. His voice lacks the range or tonal color necessary to make it consistently interesting.
Full-time consideration of another endeavor might be in order. He came back home to Dayton and was questioned by his friends. Smiled and just said nothing, and he never sang again. Excepting very late at night, when the shop was dark and closed, he sang softly to himself as he sorted through the clothes. Music was his life, it was not his livelihood, and he made
talking about a few other non-sibling related things. So first of all, I think I've talked about before how I take this song as a cautionary tale, because there definitely would be a part of me that would be capable of being Mr. Tanner and going out and trying once. And I definitely do, I hear the flaws a lot. I mean, I hear every mistake when I'm playing. I hear... In all the albums before the last one, in which I spent 5 years getting it ready by removing every single place where it grated on me, one at a time, this is a time-consuming process, let me tell you, I very much hear the flaws in those albums. And I don't like to hear them. It's like painful memory for the most part. I wish that I'd felt like I had time to put that kind of effort into the 2010 album. And sometimes I ponder just re-recording it, like, you know, take all the same songs, but do it with my current skill level and willingness to keep tracking till I get there. Also, there's definitely, like, the other day when I had my neighbor, you know, constantly asking me to turn things down when I was already at the level where my singing was louder than the keyboards, and there's part of me that felt sort of discouraged and like I should give up, you know, if I'm at this skill level, and she's still saying that. But she is never going to be my audience. She is always going to hate the stuff I do. Like, for all I know, it's just because she's Indian and used to a different scale than the 12-tone scale, and so the 12-tone scale grates on her, like, you know, fingernails on a blackboard. I don't know why, but she's never going to like my stuff. In the future, I will probably just tell her, well, in the future, I probably won't play that gig, and I'll explain to them when they ask that I don't really want to be somewhere that people don't want me to be, and that one of our neighbors made it quite clear she didn't really want me to be there. But beyond that, if I were to be in that situation, say at a paid gig, I'd tell them, you know, look, I'm here playing. You put in some earplugs or walk away from the speakers or something if you don't like it. You know, it's especially given the amount of effort it is to haul out the kit for an unpaid gig. And that was, I'm still shaking my head. I don't think she realized how awful she was being. But, you know, there's, speaking of people, you know, being self-centered. This is one I like to do. Been a while. Thank you.
turn away to face the cold. Enduring chill as day bakes the night for mercy, love. The sun so bright it leaves no shadows, only scars. Up and over one tree hill, you see the sun go down in your eyes. You run like a river runs through the sea. You run like a river to the sea. Fire zone where poets speak their heart, then bleed for it. Cherish sang his song a weapon in the hands of one whose blood still cries from the ground. It runs like a river.
Satisfying. some more U2 here. Satisfying number. It's interesting, in the memorial service I played a song, and I played Where the River Meets the Sea, from which I've talked about in earlier shows, and I don't actually kid myself for the most part into thinking that my sister would actually listen to a whole show. That would never happen, but it'd be interesting if it did. I guess what I was wanting to say before I got distracted by that thought, is that I think it's a good thing that I got over my stage fright this year, and I'm still not sure exactly how it happened. It was just One day I went up to play with the band and I just wasn't scared at all. And even when very large mistakes happened, I was not frightened. It's just going. And, you know, I thought, it's like, am I going to be... Because clearly there were far more people at my dad's memorial service than were at the substation. And, you know, is it going to be the function of crowd size? It wasn't. I didn't, like, strut. You know, I didn't pull off any of the fancy keyboard moves. I kept it real simple. But that was... I wasn't entirely sure, because there was definitely a time when that was one of the songs that would sometimes make me sniffle, so I wasn't sure that I wasn't going to start sniffling in the middle of it and then have my voice kind of shake because of that, but that didn't happen. And I don't think it would have been the end of the world if it did. I mean, at John Ayer's funeral, I cried when I was reading his eulogy. And I was talking to Gail about that, and she was like, well, you know, John would be a lot more likely to cry at your funeral than your dad would. And a lot, you know, John also would not be ashamed of crying. He's more the hippie type with my dad. You know, the pulling, whatever. And then I don't know, like, he seemed like near the end of his life, he was embracing his emotions more. He sniffled some, I think, when relating various bits of history to me. So it's hard to tell. He did openly say multiple times that he didn't think I was a danger to anyone. So I don't really believe the narrative that he thought that I was going to go attack my sister at any moment. I mean, I'm more worried in terms of worrying about people being scared of me attacking them. I far more worry about Vicky being scared than my sister. And I worry also that my sister takes advantage of the fact that I care about Vicky a lot. And so I know that she has, you know, done her thoroughest to make sure that Vicky thinks I'm a terrible person. Yeah, depending on who you want to believe and where, there might even been some untruths told there. It's hard to know. Anyway, the truth looks bad enough if you leave out the entire other side. You know, if you talk about me looking at her in the shower when I was, whatever, 12, 11, 13, somewhere around there. And you talk about the whole thing with the hotel room, which I didn't even realize was a thing. Then you talk about, like, the letter from Fred Brown. And of course, I called Vicky very confused and broken about the same time, and I sent her a bunch of emails, and she at some point just told me stop and then go away. I think part of probably what happened there is she talked to my sister, and my sister's like, oh yeah, he's the ever-present football player rapist. Bonus points if you recognize the reference. Of all the things that I wish that I didn't have, it's that sitting in, like, address zero or something is the memory of whatever went wrong with Vicky at her party when I was 14 or whatever, that makes me want to go talk to her. And I also, at the time of breaking up with Katie, I wanted her help in deciphering what the fuck is wrong with me, because my mind was not working in any normal sort of capacity. And of course, part of the answer to that is, well, you do that much nitrous oxide, it's going to take a while for your B12 levels to return to normal, like months. And also, part of the other thing is, of course, you absorb that much psychological abuse, and very well crafted psychological abuse. And your mind is also not going to be anything like normal. And of course, there's also, I could allude to things my sister had done, but I won't. What I will say is, if she's still listening, if she ever was, seems unlikely. But, you know, if you're really that worried about, let me tell you that I would not sleep with you for $1 billion. You are way too much like Katie. if that's what you were worried about, you can stop worrying for so many reasons. I don't know, perhaps he'll take that as even more insulting, a reason to be even more angry at me. I don't know. If I were me and I someone credibly said that I reminded them of Katie, I would seek therapy. I really would. Just saying. All right.
But listen, my sisters and brothers, as you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years. And they're crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land. And they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free, none of us are free. None of us are free if one of us is chained. None of us are free. And there's people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. And if you don't say it's wrong, well, that says it's right. We gotta try to feel for each other, let our brothers know we care. Gotta get that message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free if one of us is chained. None of us are free. It's a simple truth we all need, just to hear and to see. None of us are free if one of us is chained. None of us are free. Now I swear you, salvation, it isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We've got to join together, spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know that they are not alone. Free. None of us are free. None of us are free. If one of us is shamed, none of us are free. 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 If one of us is chained, none of us are free.
Well, what can I say? It's probably getting on to be about time for me to wrap this up. And it has been a rather difficult day. As I mentioned, it definitely did make me feel rather like the second-class citizen when my mom, with no apology and no real, oh, oops, I forgot I had made this promise. And of course, it's possible my sister just decided she wanted it this way and told my mom, oh, you forgot, Mom. And that's part of the problem with my mom's memory currently being kind of broken, where she has good days and bad days, and on the bad days, she's not really trying. Like, she'll ask the same question 7 times. Is my sister can tell her pretty much anything, and she'll believe it. Although, I don't know. I think she's, like, aware a little bit of the fact that my sister is a little bit manipulative, conniving. Take whatever word you want for that. It's because I hate you. Just because I don't hate you doesn't mean that I don't see you for possibly a flawed human being. I have my own flaws. I'll be the first to admit it. Our flaws kind of complement each other in unfortunate ways, and I am sorry about that. But, yeah. What are you going to do? I guess one thing I would comment is... But usually when I see a fire, I try to put it out. When you see a fire, you pour gasoline on it. Anyway, one more. Why did you steal the matches? The one-room motel. Once they gave you answers, now they give you hell. They will never understand. They wonder, where did they go wrong? Why could you be so selfish? Why can't you get along? And as you pray in your darkness, four wings to set you free. You are bound to your silent legacy. You've seen it in the movies, you've heard it on the street, craving the affection, the blood is full of heat. Don't listen to your reasons as original sin. Denial that you feel, and they will bring you home again. And as you pray in your darkness, pour wings to set you free. You are bound to your silent legacy. Your body is alive, but no one told you what you'd feel. The empty aching hours trying to conceal. Natural progression is the coming of your age. They cover it with shame and turn it into rage. And as you pray in your darkness for wings to set you free, you are bound to your silent legacy. You are digging for the answers until your fingers bleed to satisfy the hunger. Satiate the need. They feed you on the guilt to keep you humble, keep you low. Some men admit they made up 2,000 years ago. And as you pray in your darkness for wings to set you free, you are bound to your silent legacy. Mothers, tell your children, quick, you must be strong. Life is full of wonder. Love is never wrong. Remember how they taught you, how much of it was fear. If you hand it down, the legacy stops here. And one more comment, in case you're listening. It seems unusually odd, but I'll go with it. It's not that I'm not aware that the patriarchy sucks, because I am, believe me. And it's not that I'm not aware that horrible things happen to young women every day, because I'm aware of that. Believe it or not, it's not even that I don't know what it would be like to be raped, because I have been. In multiple ways, in multiple times. Drop the hate. It's not worth it. Thank you. friend Vicky taught me something a long time ago. The people in heaven and the people in hell live in the same physical space. The difference is in what's happening in their minds. I've been on my way up for a while. I would suggest you turn around. It's really a pity. We'll probably never listen to the show. I might save that one just as a another oddity, an outlier. they all get saved, but I might save that one in on the actual public web server somewhere. Anyway, that's 1498.0, which means that 1500 is going to come right about the time I head off for Iceland. So that's fun. Thanks for listening, anyone who did.